This podcast is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Hey, we Kansas Cityans have experienced a resurgence of pride in our hometown baseball team the past few seasons, right? We clapped and we cheered in 2014 as the Royals made it all the way to the World Series where we lost to the San Francisco Giants. And then in 2015, where's all my pictures? Yeah, then in 2015, we were once again swept up in near hysteria as our Royals became world champions when we defeated the New York Mets. Yep, it was another picture. Show us how what we did. Whoa! Made history. Now, like many people, and I'm sure some of you, I've been a baseball fan for most of my life. And so it's no surprise that when I think back to who my heroes were when I was a kid, they were mostly professional baseball players. And like a lot of kids, I started young playing little league baseball myself and then moved up to 3-2 ball. And these were the days when kids and adults collected baseball cards. Baseball cards, they had a picture on the they had a picture on the front of the card, and it had his stats on the back. And every year, baseball cards were printed with new photos and updated stats for every major league player. And the better and more popular the player, the more valuable the card. And people would, they would trade them, they would buy them, they would sell them. Anyone besides me collect them? Anybody? Do you remember who you had? Well, who you had? Who'd you have? Oh, come on. Who's some favorite ones? You remember? Okay. All right. See, there you go. See, and my most valuable players, most valuable cards were of also Willie Mays. I had that. Had Bob Gibson. Had Al Kaline. Had Ernie Banks. I remember those are just a few that I had. And as I was preparing this message, I did some research and discovered that if I still had those cards right there, and if they were in good condition, they would be worth more than $50,000 each. Oh, yeah. Seriously. I also learned that the 30 most valuable baseball cards of all time, they had a list of the 30 most valuable of all times, only two players' names appeared twice on that list. Any guesses who the two? Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle. Of course, almost everyone has heard of Babe Ruth. I mean, they even named a candy bar after him. But see, he retired before I was born. And Mickey Mantle, however, was very popular when I was a kid. In fact, a few years ago, one of his baseball cards was sold for over $500,000. He was a great hero, looked at as the ideal man. He was famous, respected, on a first-name basis with presidents and royalty, and he was rich. I remember how he became the highest-paid athlete in the entire world when he signed a contract for $75,000 a year. That was an unbelievable amount for an athlete in 1961. Of course, it's hardly pocket change in the economy of today's sports figures. Oh, how I would have loved to have been Mickey. I want to be like Mickey. Did you know he once hit 3 home runs in a single game? Did you know he played in 12 World Series? In the 1960 series, he played in all 7 games and set a record by batting 400. He was just simply awesome. That's what he was. I mean, in the summer before my sophomore year in high school, I remember seeing him hit 2 homers in one game, one left-handed and one right-handed. Wow. Now I wanted to be a switch hitter. Incidentally, Mickey is the only switch hitter to have ever hit 500 or more home runs as a Major League ball player. He also hit the longest home run in Major League history, a record that still stands. He hit a home run that was 565 feet against the Washington Senators in 1951. And he did that without steroids. Oh, how I dreamed of someday being able to powder a ball like that. I mean, still today, Mickey Mantle holds the following World Series hitting records. Put these up here. He had the most bases on balls, 43. This is in World Series only. Most extra base hits, 26. Most home runs, 18. Most runs batted in, 40. Most runs scored himself, 40. Most total bases, 123. No one's even come close in World Series records to touching that. Wow. Now, when I became an adult, of course, I just naturally put away childish things, and my attention in sports diminished. But I'd still watch a Major League game every now and then, and it was kind of sad to see Mickey slowing down. And during the 50s, you see, he led the American Leagues in home runs. He led the American League in runs batted in. But by the time he retired in 1968, you see, his batting average had slipped to 237. Now, understand, that's not bad for almost any pro player, but it's a long ways away from Mickey's high of 365 in 1957. Well, the end for Mickey Mantle, however, began in July 1994, when he once again received, years after he'd retired, but received nationwide media attention. And this time he received attention for receiving a liver transplant. I remember CNN reporting, 40 years of heavy drinking has taken its toll on his health and corroded his role model status. I was stunned. Mickey died a year later of liver cancer brought on by alcoholism. He spent his last year promoting organ transplants, discouraging alcohol usage. He was quoted as saying, "God gave me the ability to play baseball, and I wasted it. For the kids out there, don't be like me." Now, this morning, I'd like to suggest that there are at least four lessons we can learn from the life of superstar Mickey Mantle. And you may want to write these down. If you have a bulletin, it's got a place for you to write these down. So the first one is this. First lesson, friends have a big influence on us. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Mickey said, "My teammates taught me to drink and carouse as a 19-year-old. Liquor destroyed my marriage and crippled my family. I taught my sons to drink, and they became alcoholics too." An old saying goes, if you run with a skunk, you're going to smell like one. Even the Bible says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You see, a good friend is not one who always supports you in whatever you want to do. Do you get that? You see, a good friend is one who always encourages you to do what is right. Amen? That's a good friend. I still remember when a 19-year-old boy was killed in a horrible automobile accident right here in the northland of Kansas City. The boy had been raised in church, but in his teenage years, he had chosen some new friends. He had chosen a different set of values. He rejected the direction of his parents. He began living a self-centered life without God. And one night, while joyriding with one of his new friends, his young teenage body was literally torn in two in a freeway accident, killing him instantly. It was shocking. It was tragic. Senseless. Foolish. Sad. Several days later, a number of Christian believers, along with the boy's new friends, they all gathered together, just right across the street here at Terrace Park Funeral Home. They all gathered over there to grieve with the parents and the family over the premature death of their son and brother. And I was stunned by how the church people, in an attempt to comfort the parents and comfort the siblings, the church people tried to convince them that their son died while fulfilling God's plan. They said that although the parents were unaware, God obviously had their son working undercover to reach his ungodly party friends. One of the Christians even told the parents that God had just given her a message to give to them to confirm that although they couldn't see it, their dead son's heart had always been towards God. Shocking, tragic, senseless, foolish, and sad. Because you see, not only was their son not a good friend to his unsaved party pals, as these people were trying to portray, not only that, now these Christians were guilty of not being good friends to the parents. Why do I say that? Because they were trying to make the parents believe a lie. They were assisting them in perpetuating a falsehood. They were not telling them the truth. But Pastor, you say, these people were hurting. Is it so bad for them to believe that their son was pleasing to God? And I do understand why you'd say that. But listen to me, friends. God is hurting too. And even when we suffer pain and we suffer tragedy, He is still to be the center of our lives. He should be our focus. And by the way, He hates lying. Says it in the Bible clearly. He hates deception. Man, we need to wake up and start being honest. Jesus said that the truth will make you free. Amen. That was a key word. When a friend supports you in whatever you want to do, even when it's not the best, they are worshiping you, not God. They're thinking of themselves. They're not thinking of you. They're obviously more interested in you being their friend than in you being right with God and being His friend. So let me ask you, were Mickey's teammates really his friends? Were the ones at the funeral, really the parents' friends. And what about you? Do you have any true friends? Maybe more importantly, are you being a true friend to anyone? And that brings us to point number two. Another lesson we can learn from Mickey Mantle's life. Alcohol is an enemy, not a friend. Before he died, Mickey Mantle said, "I chose the bottle over my marriage and my four sons, Mickey Jr., David, Danny, and Billy." Proverbs 23, 29 through 35 says this. Tune into this. Here's what it says. Whose heart is filled with anguish and sorrow? Who is always fighting and quarreling? Who is the man with the bloodshot eyes and many wounds? It is the one who spends long hours in the taverns trying out new mixtures. This is in your Bible, friends. Don't let the sparkle and the smooth taste of strong wine deceive you, for in the end it bites like a poisonous serpent. It stings like an adder, for you will see hallucinations and have delirium tremens, and you will say foolish and silly things that will embarrass you to no end when sober. You will stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to a swaying mast, and afterwards you'll say, "I didn't even know when they beat me up. Hey, let's go have another drink." I ain't preaching, I'm just reading the Bible to you. The U.S. Department of Safety reports that alcohol-related auto crashes in the United States kill 9 teenagers between the ages of 15 and 19 every single day. More Americans today are arrested for drunk driving than for any other crime. Dr. Horrid of the Mendel Research Institute, he said this. He said, if the drug of alcohol was just discovered today, not only would it probably not be passed by the Food and Drug Administration, it would likely be banned without a doctor's prescription. Hear me, church. Just because we want it, just because we like it, or we can convince ourselves that it's okay, does not make it good for us. And our God is a loving Father who only wants the best for us. And here's third lesson from Mickey's life. Actions bring consequences. After a session in the Betty Ford Center, Mickey Mantle spent his last few years trying to make up for his misspent life. And he made peace with his sons, but his drinking caught up with him. It was a case of, you know, too little, too late, as far as alcohol was concerned. Are you familiar with this scripture? Do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Galatians 6, 7. You know what that verse is saying? It's saying, nobody is getting away with anything. That's what it said. The debt must be paid. Listen, parents, teach your children that there is a consequence for every action. It's called the law of cause and effect. I must confess that sometimes I am just amazed at the capacity people have for deceiving themselves. They say, "Oh, that would never happen to me." I'm sure the 19-year-old boy who died had no thought that he would be in a fatal accident that night. You know, but he was. Take a look at our own Ed McNeil right here. We all know Ed. Ed had heard of strokes before, and he was aware that there are people who had them. But in all the years I've known him, he never, ever expressed a concern that it might happen to him. But it did. Listen, if you eat a diet of unrestricted fat and cholesterol, there will be a consequence. If you jump off a 10-story building, there will be a consequence. And as the memory of Mickey Mantle will tell you, if you drink alcohol, there will be a consequence. The truth is, actions always bring consequences. I hope you'll learn to embrace that truth, friends, because the truth will set you free. And that brings us to the fourth thing we can learn from Mickey Mantle's life. Grace is not only for nice people. See, sometimes we may think that someone is just, they're just too far gone. They're too bad to be saved. But there are some facts that I'll share with you that Sports Illustrated and ESPN, they failed to report these. See, former teammate Bobby Richardson, Mickey's former teammate, had explained to Mickey that God loved him and that through Jesus Christ, Mickey could be forgiven. And at Mantle's funeral, Bobby Richardson said, I asked Mickey, what will you say to God when he asks why he should let you into heaven? And Mickey smiled, that all-American smile. He replied, I'm trusting Christ's death for me to take me to heaven. And I declare to you today, that is the right answer. In fact, it's the only correct answer. It is the true answer. And never forget, the truth will make you free. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Everybody say, Jesus is the way. Say, Jesus is the truth. Say, Jesus is the life. In other words, friends, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Oh, yeah. He's the answer for whatever you need. He's the answer for whatever you're going through. He's the answer. He is the only one who can give you a fulfilled and abundant life. He's the only way to God. And God is the ultimate decider of your destiny. Don't let anybody deceive you. What God says about you is the final word. There's no appeal. Who are you going to go to if God doesn't accept you? And so this morning, I urge you to reconsider the claims of Jesus Christ. See, although the deadline is past for Mickey Mantle, and it's past for that 19-year-old boy, the deadline is not past for you. It blesses me to know that before his earthly life ended, that Mickey finally trusted in Jesus. Because if he hadn't, even though he was a Hall of Fame superstar, he would still spend eternity forever in hell. And yes, it's possible that in the final seconds of his life, that 19-year-old boy called out to Jesus and was saved. I sincerely hope he did. Because if he didn't, he is today suffering forever, separated from God. No appeal. No second chance, not ever, because God has stated clearly that no sin will enter heaven. And the only way we can be free from sin is to accept Christ's payment for sin and then trust him enough to let him have full control of our lives. You see, that payment's still available. We're given the length of our earthly existence to surrender ourselves and invite Christ to be our Savior. Invite him to be the master of our lives. Only unknown factor is how long is our earthly life? Mickey, he lived to be 64. Kansas City boy lived to be 19. My father died when he was exactly 20 years younger than I am right now. No warning, no notice. Here 1 minute, gone the next. Well, that'll never happen to me. Now, Jesus, he realized that people tend to get distracted and they tend to forget. And he also knows that we're all just naturally self-centered. So before he went back to heaven, Jesus commanded that we institute a practice that would help us keep our priorities right, to keep our focus on eternal values. We call that practice communion, the Lord's Supper. And all who are trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation from their sin are instructed to gather together, as we are right now, and partake of communion. We're supposed to do it as a way of showing that we remember the price that Christ paid for our eternal life. See, communion consists of the bread and the fruit of the vine. The bread is broken to symbolize the body of Christ, which he allowed to be beaten and broken for us. And the juice symbolizes his life's blood, which he allowed to be shed to pay our sin debt. If we allow Christ to become our new master, his payment provides entrance into God's kingdom. And to make sure we don't forget this, everyone who is trusting Christ for salvation is commanded to partake of communion. Now, I want you to listen to me. You're not trusting Christ when you're not obeying Christ. If you are trusting him, then you believe what he says. He plainly says in his word that if you don't obey him, it means you don't believe him. It's pretty simple. Living to please Christ proves you trust him, and living to please yourself proves you don't. Who are you trying to please? Just be honest with yourself.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.